Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, a complete recovery, for Iris Bat Bernice, Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Avraham, Dorit Bat Sarah, and Shifra Bat Sarah, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Harav Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We have one subject on the program this week, and that is what happened for the past 23 years when I was expelled from Israel and denied the right to make aliyah, to immigrate to Israel. Me, Chaim Ben Pesach. What happened during that period? Who among the Israeli politicians and the Israeli political leaders that are now running in the elections that are coming up next month in Israel? We have elections for the Israeli parliament, or the Israeli Knesset, it's called the Knesset, the parliament. Who among those politicians and leaders did terrible injustices in this case, and who were the ones who did the right thing? Well, I could tell you in advance, the only one who did the right thing was Moshe Feiglin of the Zehut Party. So I don't want to spoil the surprise, but he's the only one who was honest and who tried to help me. But first, let me explain what happened. Starting in 1971, when I was 14 years old, I became active in the Jewish Defense League, the JDL, of Morenu v'Rabbeinu Harav Meir David Kahana Zecher Tzadik v'Kadosh Livracha Hashem Yikom Damo. The JDL of our blessed rabbi, our blessed leader and teacher, Rabbi Meir David Kahana, may God avenge his blood. The number one issue for the JDL in the 70s and 80s was liberating our brothers and sisters who were held hostage behind an iron curtain of oppression and injustice in the Soviet Union. We were determined to make sure that what happened during the Holocaust, when American Jews watched in cowardly criminal silence as over 6 million Jews were brutally burned and gassed by the German Nazis, we were determined to make sure that silence that we saw during the Holocaust would not repeat itself when it comes to Soviet Jewry. And so we were determined to put the issue on the front page and to make the issue the number one issue in the news so that no one could ignore the issue, because it was being ignored. For 50 years, the issue was ignored. And Soviet Jews didn't get out for 50 years because the issue was ignored. It was only because of the JDL's efforts that eventually over 1 million Russian Jews were liberated and now live in the land of Israel. But in any event, as a result of our campaign to liberate Soviet Jewry, I was very involved in the campaign. I was the national chairman of the JDL in the 1980s and led the campaign in the 1980s. Rabbi Kahana was already in Israel at the time, and I was leading the campaign here in the United States. And as a result of that, I spent 5.5 years in some of the worst penitentiaries in the United States, some of the worst prisons in America. And I spent 12 years either on probation, parole, house arrest, awaiting trial, another 12 years under some form of supervision. So if you added up, that 17.5 years, I was either in prison or under some form of strict supervision. And after all of that was over, and after we got all of that behind us, in 1996, I was finally free to fulfill my dream of making Aliyah, of going to the land of Israel. I hadn't done that before because I was so busy with the campaign to free Soviet Jews. Rabbi Kahana asked me to lead the campaign to free Soviet Jews, appointed me national chairman of the JDL for that purpose. But for the first time, I was finally free from all of the punishments and all of the court cases and all of the judgments that were against me as a result of the campaign that we led. Finally, 1996, I was finally free to make Aliyah, to move to Israel. And so I flew to Israel, and in Israel, under the law of return, every Jew is supposed to be able to go there and immediately be able to claim citizenship. At the airport, in fact, the Jew can claim citizenship. That's the law of return. And that was my intention. And I got to the airport in Israel. But the minute I got to the airport, a dozen agents of the Shabak is the Israeli KGB, a dozen agents of the Shabak surrounded me. And by the way, I'm deliberately using the term KGB because they behave like the KGB. Okay, they arrest people solely because of their political opinions. They persecute Jews. They torture Jewish kids, even Jewish minors. They physically torture them. I mean, horrible. Just a horrible type of secret service or secret police that you would see behavior. You'd see behavior like this in totalitarian countries. And that is how the Israeli Shabak treats good Jews. Arab terrorists, they give rights to Arab terrorists that you wouldn't believe. But if a Jewish kid sprays some graffiti on an Arab car as retaliation for Arabs murdering members of his family, they'll torture that kid. They'll torture him and get him to confess the things he never even did. That's the Shabak in Israel. And they arrested me when I tried to make Aliyah in July 1996. 24 hours later, without giving me any opportunity to appeal or anything else, they just threw me out of the country, which, by the way, they don't do for illegal aliens from Africa. Muslim, Jew-hating illegal aliens from Africa came by the hundreds of thousands, and Netanyahu and his government allowed them in and doesn't throw them out. Me, they right away threw me in a cell for 24 hours, cell with no toilet, by the way, for 24 hours, held me there, and then threw me out of the country against my will. Now, after that, I made many other attempts and many other requests to make Aliyah through all types. I went through the Sochnut, the Jewish agency in New York. I went through Israeli ministers, and I tried everything. And all of those requests were all rejected. Who was the Prime Minister of Israel when I was thrown out of Israel? Benjamin Netanyahu in 1996, he was the Prime Minister. And I wrote to him, I wrote a letter to him explaining what happened to me and asking him to intervene and do something. Of course he wouldn't intervene. He was responsible for my being thrown out. He and leaders like him are responsible for the injustice that's done to good Jews in Israel. He was the Prime Minister. The Interior Minister was Eli Swisa from the Shas Party, which pretends to be a religious party. They supported... The Shas Party and the Likud supported Arafat, supported bringing tens of thousands of Arab Muslim Nazi terrorist mass murderers into Israel. Armed Arab terrorist mass murderers were brought into Israel under the Oslo agreements. And the Oslo agreements were continued with the Y Accords that Benjamin Netanyahu signed with Arafat and the Hebron Accord that he signed with Arafat. And to this day, the Oslo agreements are in effect. Tens of thousands of armed Arab terrorist mass murderers were brought into Israel. And after they committed murder in Israel, Netanyahu freed thousands of them from Israeli prisons over the years. But Chaim ben Pesach is not allowed to set foot into Israel. Arafat, the Arab Hitler Yasser Arafat, who murdered more Jews than any other Nazi Jew hater since Adolf Hitler, that monster was allowed into Israel and given a huge parade welcoming him. And Netanyahu hugged him and said, "I have met a new friend," when he met Arafat. After he became prime minister, he met with Arafat and said, hugged him and said he met a new friend. And Arafat and the PLO Fatah terrorists murdered 2,000 Jews since the Oslo agreements. 2,000 Jews. And the Netanyahu government allows this to go on. And it's not just the Netanyahu government. It's all the other political parties in Israel. The Jewish Home Party, Naftali Bennett votes for this, Smotrich, all of them support this. Bezalel Smotrich from the National Union Party. Otzma Yehudit is now running with these people that have done this. And I'm going to tell you about Otzma. Wait till you hear about Otzma Yehudit, what they did to me. But Otzma Yehudit is running with them, and they're agreeing we have to support Netanyahu, we have to support the Likud government. Did you know that the Likud government delivers $20 million in cash, in suitcases filled with cash every month, to the Hamas terrorists in Gaza to bribe them and beg them not to murder too many Jews? Just to keep the murder on a low scale. You can murder a few Jews, but don't murder too many Jews. Did you know $20 million in cash in suitcases is delivered to the Hamas terrorists every month from the Netanyahu government? And now, because Hamas is engaging in increased terrorism and firing all type balloons and that blow up and missiles and everything else at Israel, Netanyahu decided to get tough before the election. He said he's going to cut that from $20 million to $10 million in giving to the $10 million to the terrorists. I mean, this is just unbelievable how sick this is. You imagine the United States delivering to Osama bin Laden and Al Qaeda, and to Daesh. To Daesh in English is the to the Islamic State, ISIS, delivering to them suitcases full of tens of millions of dollars. That's what Netanyahu and the Likud government do in Israel. And everyone in Israel knows it. It's in the news. Everybody knows it. I mean, it is such a cowardly policy. And Netanyahu is such a coward and such a disgrace. And all of the other parties in Israel say that we have to keep Netanyahu in power, otherwise we'll get a left-wing government. A left-wing government? You mean Netanyahu is not a left-wing government? This behavior is... The left would be worse than this? The left... By the way, the left never did this. This is something the left never did. Now, all the other parties in Israel that supported all of this and that have gone along with all of this and that have handed over and they're handing over the heartland of biblical Israel to the Arab terrorists that want to destroy the Jewish state and want to create a so-called Palestinian state, even though there is no Palestine, there are no Palestinians, it's an Arab bluff and Arab lie. There's never been a Palestine people or state in history. Never. It's a lie. But Netanyahu uses the term Palestinian, and Naftali Bennett uses the term Palestinian, and Michael Ben-Ari, and Itamar Ben-Gvir, and Bezalel Smotrich, and Struck, and all these other phonies, they use the term Palestinian. The only one who doesn't use it, who says there's no Palestinian people and there's no Palestine, is Moshe Feiglin from the Zahut Party. And the only one who says, I'm not going to support Netanyahu giving money to the Arab terrorists, and I'm not going to support releasing Arab terrorists, and who proved it when he was in the Knesset, because Feiglin was in the Knesset at one point, and they threw him out because he refused to support Netanyahu after Netanyahu released over 1,000 terrorists. As a gesture to the Arab terrorists, he released over 1,000, the Arab terrorists in Ramallah, he released over 1,000 terrorists to try to convince them to come back to the negotiating table so that Israel could negotiate its own self-destruction. He released over 1,000 terrorists as a gesture to try to get them to come back to the negotiating table. And when this happened, when he released over 1,000 convicted terrorist murderers with Jewish blood on their hands, Feiglin voted to bring down that government. And that was the end of his career with the Likud party. And the end. He could have been a big minister. All types of things good things could have happened with him if he was willing to sell out, but he refused to. He was the one honest guy there. Now, in my case, the Likud, Shas, all these other parties, they all threw me out of Israel over the years. And by the way, eventually we had Likud interior ministers who threw me out as well. Gidon Sa'ar, Erdan, all these Likud interior ministers, they also refused to let me make Aliyah. They also threw me out of Israel. And even Otzma Yehudit, the party that claims to be a Kahanis party, this phony party that claims to be a Kahanis party, they betrayed me. All of a sudden, Baruch Marzel from the Otzma party says that Chaim Ben Pesach is not barred from Israel. He can make Aliyah anytime he wants. He's just making this up. So I did videos proving that I was barred. I showed it. I documented it. I did videos showing this and documenting it. And Michael Ben-Ari, when he was in the Knesset, said, I checked as a Knesset member and I found that Chaim Ben Pesach is not barred. Another liar. I mean, what scoundrels. Why would you do this to a Jew who is barred from going to Israel because he fought to save Soviet Jews? Why would you do something like this? And I supported them, by the way, up to that point. I supported them. I sent them money. And I was backing them. They did it because they thought I'm going to be a political rival of theirs, which is so untrue. I was not going to be a political rival of theirs. I wanted to work together with them and support them. My loyalty is to the Jewish people and the land of Israel and the Torah and to Hashem. Unlike them, I went to prison for my beliefs. Unlike them, I sacrificed my whole life for my beliefs. They never did anything. They never did anything like that. The only thing they ever did is try to get Knesset seats or hold demonstrations and do other little things, safe things. And they felt threatened by me because, I guess because I'm not the type of so-called Kahanist that's willing to compromise and give in and support Netanyahu and support all these other things and betray all the Kahanist principles. I'm not that type. And so they felt uncomfortable around me because they portray themselves as like they're big Kahanist heroes here. They, yeah, so when they meet somebody who actually spent years, spent many years in the worst prisons in the country, and was barred for decades from going to Israel because of what he did, when they meet somebody like that, they feel threatened by that person. So instead of working together, this is the type of unbelievable opportunism and backstabbing. Just unbelievable. They did the same thing to Rabbi Kahana's son, Harab Binyamin Kahana. Harab Binyamin Kahana, Hashem Yikom Damo, God should avenge his blood, was also murdered with his wife by Arab terrorists as a result of the Oslo agreements. They were driving on the road and Arab terrorists ambushed them and murdered both of them. Harab Binyamin Kahana, Rabbi Kahana's son of blessed memory, when he wanted to try, after his father was murdered, was assassinated by Al-Qaeda terrorists. Rabbi Kahana was the first Jewish victim of Al-Qaeda terrorism. And Rabbi Binyamin Kahana, his son, wanted to, again, continue the work and wanted to run a principled organization. Baruch Marzel and these other guys threw him out and condemned him and ridiculed him. They made fun of him. They ridiculed him. They ridiculed him in the media. They did the same thing to me. Anyway, poor Rabbi Kahana. He must be turning over in his grave, seeing all of this. And now you got a guy, all these people betrayed me. No one was willing to help me. No one. Complete injustice. And here I am, 62 years old, barred from Israel, with no one helping. But the one guy that did help me, there was one exception. When Moshe Feiglin, who was a member of the Knesset, heard about my case, he immediately offered to help. He immediately said that this was an injustice and he offered to help. I wrote a letter to the Interior Minister then, Gideon Sa'ar from the Likud. I wrote a letter to Gideon Sa'ar explaining my situation and asking that he allow me to make Aliyah, and explaining all the years that I've been banned and that he allowed me to make Aliyah. Moshe Feiglin said, send me that letter. I sent him the letter. He took that letter from me. Moshe Feiglin, as a member of the Knesset, went up to Gideon Sa'ar, who was the Interior Minister, and personally handed him the letter and said, please help this guy. Please do me a favor and help this guy. Moshe Feiglin did everything he could to help because he saw injustice. And you know, Moshe Feiglin is not a Kahanist. And yes, we have differences of opinion with him. He favors legalizing marijuana, which I completely disagree with. But on most of the issues, he is the one candidate who makes sense on most of the issues. He's the only candidate running that's not a socialist. All the others, they don't call themselves socialists, but they are. They favor big government, big budgets, big spending, big bureaucracy. All of them do. Everyone from the Likud to Otzma, to the left, to the so-called right, to the National Union Party, all of them, all of them. In fact, Baruch Marzel, Mikhail Ben-Ari from Otzma, Smotrich from the National Union Party, Bennett from the Jewish Home Party, all of whom will claim to be big right-wingers, they're frequently critical of Netanyahu's government because they say he's not spending enough. He should have even bigger budgets. He should be spending even more. Why isn't he spending more on education? Education? What education? The education budget, most of it goes to the teachers' union and the communist teachers' union in Israel. And by the way, they are communists. I'm not exaggerating when I say communist teachers' union. The Histadrut is controlled by communists, by Marxists. The one person who wants to end all of that, who wants a truly free market, who wants to liberate Jewish brain power and create a technological powerhouse in Israel is Moshe Feiglin. The one party running that wants a program to encourage the Arabs to leave in return for compensation, which polls show the vast majority of Arabs would like to leave Israel, especially if you're going to offer them compensation to leave. The one party that has a realistic program to do this is the Zehut party of Moshe Feiglin. He is good on most of the issues. Yes, there are issues where we disagree with him, but on most of the issues, he's good. And by the way, I want to deal with one issue just quickly that people bring up, because he wants to separate religion from the state, and they say, oh, this is going to cause assimilation. What is this? And Marzel and all these other guys on the Otzma, they're all attacking him on this. What? You're going to stop funding the rabbis and stop funding the rabbinic institutions? Moshe Feiglin wants to privatize everything and wants the government to stop controlling the institutions of Judaism in Israel. Rabbi Kahana wanted that as well, because the Israeli government controls the institutions of Judaism in Israel. Rabbinic courts and all of the other institutions are controlled by the Shas party, the left-wing Shas party that supported Arafat and supported Oslo and is corrupt to the core. And the Agudists, they're the Sephardic crooks are the Shas party, and the Ashkenazi crooks are the Agudists. The Agudists, from something called the Torah Judaism Party, which has nothing to do with Torah or Judaism, it's just all money for their institutions, they sat in Sharon's government when Sharon expelled 10,000 Jews from Gush Katif, and they supported his government all through that period. Feiglin doesn't want those people controlling the institutions of Judaism. He doesn't want them controlling Jewish education. He doesn't want them controlling the minds of Jewish youth. He doesn't want them controlling the rabbinate. He doesn't want them controlling us in the land of Israel anymore, because they distort Judaism and they give a bad name to Judaism. If you liberate the Israeli economy and you give people lower taxes and more prosperity and liberate everything, you'll have all of those institutions. They'll be well-funded, but they'll all be privatized, just as they're private in the United States. Those institutions are all private in the United States. And as far as yeshivas and educational institutions, he wants to privatize the educational system and give vouchers so that people will be able... You'll have a lot of Jewish parents in Israel would love to send their children to yeshivas, but their expenses, their problems, they're all... All of that would change. You'd be able to send your child to any place you want. You'd have a voucher. Like every parent would have a voucher for their kids. There'd be a voucher for every pupil, for every student. And we know that vouchers work in the United States. And in Israel with Jewish brains, can you imagine how well they would work? The teachers' union and the communists, they're all against it. The communist histadrut, they're all against it. And all the other parties are supporting the communist histadrut and supporting the teachers' union and opposing Feiglin's plan. And Feiglin is the only one supporting the truth and telling the truth. Thank God this week, by the way, several new polls show that Feiglin's party is passing the threshold now. Now, of course, there are also polls that show he isn't. So we got a tough fight ahead of us on April 9th. He needs 3.25% of the vote. He needs 4 seats to get in. But their poll, like the Kan poll, Chadshot Kan poll, which is the Kan is Channel 1 news, very left wing, and their poll shows Feiglin getting in. And Haaretz, even the left wing newspaper Haaretz, shows Feiglin getting in with 4 seats. If he gets in, if he just gets 4 seats and gets in, I'm telling you, it'll be a breath of fresh air. He'll be the one honest voice in the Knesset. He'll be a voice of truth on so many issues. And one of those issues where there'll finally be somebody who speaks up will be the issue of my aliyah. I'm banned from Israel for 23 years. And Yasser Arafat was welcome. And all the Arab terrorists to welcome hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens from Africa, Muslim illegal aliens from Africa who are raping, murdering, and causing endless crime all over, who've become more than 70% of the population of South Tel Aviv now. They're all welcome into Israel. And Netanyahu and Bennett and Smotrich and all these other guys, they allow all of this to continue. And they say, well, the Supreme Court doesn't allow us, the Supreme Court. Because of you, we have a left-wing Supreme Court, because you won't change the Supreme Court. You won't change the system of choosing Supreme Court judges. The one person who will make the changes, the one person who means what he says and says what he means, is Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party. And yes, again, we have difference of opinion with him, but he is the one guy who at least is honest. And at least what he tells you he's going to do, he really does. He proved it. He got thrown out of the Knesset because he was honest. And I know what he did in my case. He was honest and courageous and stood for justice and truth and was not afraid to take a case like mine and stand up and say, this is wrong what you're doing to this Jew. He was not afraid to do that. All the others betrayed me and were against me. So if you want justice, and if you want someone who stands for the truth, and for once, if you want someone who is really going to stand up against releasing Arab terrorists, against the left-wing Supreme Court, against the communist Histadrut, against socialist bureaucracy, if you want someone who's really going to stand against that, because none of the other parties do, all of them are phony on those issues, all of them want a continuation of the status quo, if you want someone who's really going to fight for change, it's Moshe Feiglin and Zehut. And yes, let me tell you, we independently are running a campaign on his behalf, independently from the United States. And we've gotten on our videos almost 700, in just the latest advertising campaign, we've gotten almost 700,000 views on our videos. And on our videos, they're just videos where I editorialize and speak about the issues. That's all. I speak into the camera like I'm doing now. And then I say at the end, that the punchline is that we should support Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party. Almost 700,000 views since the summer for that video campaign. And in addition to that, we have hundreds of thousands of views for prior campaigns that we ran as well. We've gotten well over 1 million views altogether from this campaign and from the prior campaigns, well over 1 million views publicizing Moshe Feiglin and making people aware of his positions on the issues. And it shows he's gaining momentum in the polls. We have a chance of getting him in now. We really have a realistic chance of getting him in now. Something which everybody else said was impossible. They said, he can't get in. What are you kidding me? He doesn't have money. The threshold is too high, 3.25%. He'll never get in. He has no chances, no hope. Everybody said it was hopeless. Now they're looking at the polls and saying, you know, he might get in. I mean, he's gaining momentum. He might get in. People are looking at him and saying, this is the one guy who's really different. So we're proud to support Moshe Feiglin, and we're proud to stand up for what's right. And if you care about even an individual case like mine of injustice, if you think this is wrong and that I should be allowed to make Aliyah as a Jew, I should be allowed to go to Israel and make Aliyah, and that cases like this are proof of the fact that there is injustice and that this injustice has to be rectified. If you really believe that, then you'll help us. You'll help us to get Moshe Feiglin into the Knesset, and hopefully we can make a big difference and change history. We're going to try to prove on April 9th in the Knesset elections that if we work together as a team, we can change history, we can make this a better world. With God's help, Bezrat Hashem, let's hope that it can happen, and with your help, it can happen. Shalom.